So the three things you shouldn't talk about over dinner: religion, politics, and coyotes.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for June 25th, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We're in a new facility here.
And we have been gone for a while.
And we apologize for that. It had nothing to do with my wine.
No, but the timing was really odd.
It was really odd, and my fine Scott Stantis, personal whine about whether or not anyone's listening. They did. We had a great response, so
yes,
we're going to keep doing this. And then we are on vacation, and then WGN changed studios, so they're now at 303 North Wacker here in Chicago. Beautiful view on this 18th floor.
It is. It's gorgeous.
And new facilities. It doesn't have that old musty.
No, it's got that new studio smell.
It does. It does. So thank you all for being patient, and we are back. I actually got an email from, I don't have it in front of me, darn it, but someone actually wrote and said, what happened? Did you decide not to do it? Where are you? And so it was very sweet. So we're back.
Okay.
And better than ever.
And you did something different this past week. You introduced some new characters.
I introduced for the first time in a long time. I always want to introduce new characters, and for those of you who've been reading the strip for any length of time, I've had Dio, who's a lizard who comes and goes, Kevin, the lost bunny of the apocalypse, who became a regular character, as did his wife, Honey Bunny. But for the most part, I don't introduce new characters. And
you do, then they're gone.
Yeah, I just don't have the attention span. The ADD kicks in. I just can't do it for very long. Anyway, so but through the advice of John Glenn, who's the senior vice president over at Andrews and McMeel, Universal, and whatever other titles he has.
Woot, John.
Woot. John suggested expanding the repertoire, and so we could expand the discussion. I think he was right. And so we were introduced to Winslow's family. And Winslow, of course, always introduces the left side of the story, generally. As the readers and some of the commenters have pointed out, it's not that consistent. I try to make it consistent, but it's not always consistent.
But people aren't consistent, so.
So there. I'm just being human. Anyway, so I introduced his family, and we talked about where he comes from. His mom is a Bernie bro, and his dad is a Honey Bunny supporter, and that's where it starts, and just talks about a liberal family and liberal values, and how a lot of it has really kind of devolved to what they complain about the Trump supporters, which is just nasty grams and nastiness all around. And I know you wanted to talk about some of this stuff. Janine?
Right.
By the way, this new facility, Janine and I are literally, a foot apart? Which is kind of nice, but this is a strange way. We've never done it this way before.
No. Oh, someone didn't, and I apparently did not copy down that who actually said that, but they were discussing the new characters and how you have, like, Che Guevara and Karl Marx, and that they said, not all liberals think like that.
No, it's a caricature. It's a cartoon. I need to be clear. But a lot of liberals still think Che Guevara was a great guy, and he was a monstrous person and did monstrous things, as did Marx's theories. Although, have you heard about this? I don't know if we talked about this. We haven't, because we haven't done the podcast in a while. But the new film that's just come out, called Young Karl Marx.
No.
Apparently he was a super sexy hipster when he was younger. I'm watching this going, oh, the man whose ideology is responsible for literally tens of millions of deaths. But man, he had a groovy beard, and the ladies likey. That was my takeaway from the trailer. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
I'm sure there is.
Anyway, I digress. So, but some other comments about where the series has gone and so on. You said you want me to talk about specifics, so I was admonished this morning that
one is Carmen is supposed to lead the prayer, and then she's chastised for being too specific, right?
Yeah,
saying,
Christian.
Right, too Christian, and Akini says, why do conservatives assume one cannot be liberal and Christian too? That is a travesty of the truth.
I would say that's correct for the most part. In fact, some of the great liberals and the great liberal thinkers and the great liberal speakers, and who have been religious, of course, Reverend Martin Luther King being among them in the United States canon, and Mother Teresa and others. Religion, actually, Christianity actually can make you a very good person. However, as it's usurped by humans, it can also be used as a bludgeon, as it often is by the right, frankly, more so than by the left, obviously. And so the left's response to that is to be oftentimes very antagonistic towards Christian and Christianity and Christian people.
Well, I have the idea that with these people, you are going to the extreme with this family. It's satire, so
yes,
You're supposed to stretch it out. It's not that every liberal is like this, but you take it and you stretch it out into the extreme, just like comedians do with the right.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I can't add to that. That's well put.
Well, Ignat says, a whole lot of people rejecting Christianity because the American right has convinced them that it isn't a religion for decent human beings. As a Christian myself, that saddens me. They don't imitate Jesus. They imitate the Pharisees that Jesus condemned.
I couldn't agree more, Ignat. I really couldn't. I think you're absolutely right.
And in fact, that's why our children are probably not Christian. Because they grew up in a place where people used it as a weapon.
Well, plus my altar to Satan in the basement. No, you're right. Because they grew up primarily in the South and were a lot of Baptists and
where people would say, "I'll pray for you" in a mean way.
That shouldn't be a threat.
No, but it was, and so that's how they view it. They see people who say one thing but do another.
Yeah,
and only take some pieces of it that they like and completely ignore the, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Well, here's a great example. I had Mark Shea on as a guest on this podcast one time. As I always have to say, my favorite Catholic blogger. And Mark is a great guy, and he calls them Christianists. I think I'm getting that correct, and Mark will tell me if I'm not, because he's not afraid to tell me. But he talks about Christianity and the teachings of, especially of the Catholic Church, but Christianity in general and how things like immigration. And you see these people being put in, you can only call them cages. I know they're not, that's a semantic argument, but and how we're dealing with people who are desperate. And, the teachings of Christ remind us that we have to take them in, or at least treat them with humanity, with compassion. And we're not. And the people who are screaming about, send them back, no due process, are the very people who claim to be Christians.
Right.
So, but these are the same people who think capital punishment is just Jake. And I have to believe that if Christ came back today, his view of capital punishment would not be positive, having been a victim of it. Dudes, seriously. So that's where my Christianity does inform me. And there's parts where I'm kind of unyielding, parts where I'm not. And I think it also tells you to be compassionate. Try to understand the other person's side. Don't place evil intent. You can't do that. You're not in their head. You're not in their heart.
Right. But you don't know. You don't have it. Like, what was that quote I gave you? I can't remember who to attribute it to, but I read it somewhere. Is that you don't have enough information to judge people?
Yeah. Well, I judge people.
That's your job. I'm seeing on a regular basis.
I think, but there are gray areas. There are things. I'm actually going to be on WGN as we record this. This is a Monday. I'm going to be on tonight on Patty Vasquez's show with some other Republicans and talk about younger Republicans who are very, very, and this does to dovetail into what Ignatz wrote, because they're very concerned with the future of the party. Right now, the older boomers support this, and the hard line, and the harshness of the party. And there's a lot of us who are concerned that going forward, this isn't really a winning formula going forward. Right now, it's a winning formula like heck. But I digress. So we have other comments and other people saying stuff.
So now that you moved on to politics part of the program, you did the strip where the Winslow's family jumps on conservatives and calls them all racist, deplorables, and Dee Dee Wiz responds, not all Trump voters are racists or deplorables, but all racists, Nazis, and KKK Confederates are Trump supporters. If you are a non-racist who supports Trump, are you really comfortable being on the same side as the Nazis and the KKK?
That's a great question, and there's been a number of writers, conservative writers, who's come out in the last week to 10 days, George Will being the highest profile, saying, don't vote Republican this time. Send them a message because they've lost their friggin' minds. And there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, they really have. The problem is coming into this election, and it's exactly what I predicted, is this economy's doing great. There are a ton of jobs. And the rest of the stuff, hey, I'm not an immigrant, and I don't know immigrant families. Who cares? And so those issues fly under the radar until your kid's picked up for something on a trumped up charge and they are denied due process.
Right.
That's when that the old chestnut of, they came for the so-and-sos and I said nothing. And but there's an awful lot of truth to that. So, I have to believe that the Trump voter probably were Democratic, probably conservative-ish, if there were such things, Democratic voters for many, many years, because they felt that that party was on their side. And for years, they waited for them. And what's happened to the Democratic Party is it's become statist. It has always been statist, but it also has become very much aligned with Wall Street and big money. And it has ignored the need and has allowed the deconstruction of the middle class. And so they thought, well, let's go. This guy, he talks to me, I guess. And I saw.
And some people thought that they were just shaking things up.
Yeah.
But didn't realize, I guess, how much they were going to be shaking things up.
That's the problem with revolution, as in almost every case, except one glaring example, thank you, George Washington, revolutions end badly. they just do. It becomes chaos, and there's nothing wrong with chaos. Chaos is kind of a normal state for human beings because, you know, it's a chaotic world we live in a chaotic existence, and we're chaotic creatures. But, you know, generally revolutions don't end well, and this one is sure smelling that way.
Also discuss people saying, the coyote saying that Trump was not our president.
Yeah, I hated that. I hated that when they said it about George W. Bush. I hated it when they said it about President Obama, and I hate it when they say it about President Trump. The fact of the matter is they won elections. They were sworn in, legally sworn in under the Constitution of the United States, and they are President of the United States. And so if you notice, I also referred to, I almost never refer to Trump as Trump or Obama as Obama unless it's a second reference, which is how I was trained because I'm a journalist. But generally, I say the President or President Trump.
Right, and that's good. Real Alexander says, I've always been uneasy with the term my president. To me, it's always been the president. He's the chief of the executive branch of the government. He's not mine or not mine any more than the CEO of my employer is my CEO. He's just the. Calling him my president sounds too much like mein Führer or dear leader.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's wonderful. I think the president is...
Right, and I think that most people do that. No one ever says, that's our president. I think what people say is, that's not our president.
Right. Right, that's a popular thing to say, and they say Trump. They don't respect the office, and that's what I'm. That's what I try to do.
Okay,
it's one of the few things I respect. So, is that it?
I think so.
Okay, that's great. Hey, listen, thank you all for being so patient. Thank you for coming back. If you did, if you didn't, well, you're not listening to this, so I can just tell you, you're being a bad person. And Jesus doesn't love you anymore because you don't listen to the Prickly City Podcast. Is that too far?
We'll see. I don't see the lightning yet, but I'm expecting it any time.
Okay. Well, no, I don't. Anyway, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you listening to this podcast. Thank you, Janine. Thank you to our producer, Brian Altimer, who's fabulous. We were in the, Janine wanted to see the Pride Parade this weekend, and I thought, I've never seen it. So, and WGN invited us to be on their float.
And that was a lot of fun.
That was a ton of fun. You like throwing beads.
I do like throwing beads.
What is it? Why?
Well, my mom was from New Orleans originally, so I guess it's in the blood.
Okay. It's genetic. And I threw beads.
And people, it makes people so happy.
It does, but I kept missing people. I thought I made eye contact, right, with someone in the crowd. And I threw it, and apparently I hadn't, because I just like knocked him right in the head and took an eye out or something.
Or they were looking at someone else, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But so,
Anyway, it was fun. And Brian was the best. He was handing out. We had some of the stuff we were handing out. Was not the highest quality or stuff that people really wanted. Let's be clear. It was
right.
A wristband.
Sponsor stuff.
Yeah, sponsored wristband. But he was so winning and so happy and
just
running
up
to people.
Just go out there and smiling and passing things out.
And people took it. And
jumping
then, of course,
around and
But then if
dancing.
You watch it about half a block further up and you just see him throw it back into the street. But, you know, okay. But anyway,
they
he was
happy that moment. So that's what it matters.
Thank you, Brian Altimer. Thank you, WGN Radio and WGN Plus for putting up with us and giving us the equipment and the time and the expertise of Brian.
Yes.
To do this. So, and thank you, most of all, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome to. Go to gocomics.com/Prickly City and go ahead and register. It's free. You get also, there's some advantages to doing that. And then click the little heart and like what you see, if you would please. You can do that. And you can also see my editorial cartoons there. So it's a twofer, folks. A twofer for free. You can't beat free.
You can't.
Also, if you want to send leave a comment, we might use it here on the podcast. And if you want to contact us directly, please do so at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. That about covers everything, I think. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.